it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
All right, don't kill the messenger, but we're going to be in a rain delay again tonight. I kid you not. It's raining at the ballpark. Not real heavy, but it is coming down. It's been very steady. The infield is covered, and tonight's game will not get started on time. So if you're heading out to the ballpark tonight, take your time. Just relax. Sit back and relax. Drive carefully, because it looks like we may be here a while. Orioles in Seattle coming up in game two, whenever, of this three-game series. Now, the Skipper Buck Show, Walter, and Rock Kabatko when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Kabatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Back and forth game last night. Club wins at 7-6, above 500, first time since June 11th. I know you were asked a lot about that before and after, but is it one of those situations where you can't dwell on it because it's baseball and you have another game tonight, another game after that?
No, it's short-lived. You don't take care of business. Our guys have been doing a good job of that, especially lately. So, you know, we know where we got to end up to have a chance to roll the dice in October. So, you know, it was a tough, well-fought game, especially, you know, two teams wanting the same thing and coming off a road trip that, you know, there's always that potential for a little letdown. You can't afford that this time of year.
Chris Davis, of course, had the big tie-breaking double. Is one of the keys with this team being on a run now is the production he's giving you from the sixth and the seventh spot in the order?
Well, you know, like I've said many times, they don't really think about where they're on the orders. You know, they try to have, you know, good at-bats very quietly. And I'm sure people have noticed Chris Davis for about 5 or 6 days now has been has had a good, I think, approach and good swing. He's putting a lot of balls in play, and you can tell there's a different look to him in the batter's box now that I've jinxed him. But, no, it would mean a lot to us. We all know what Chris is capable of, and he's due for one of those, and he's kind of in it right now.
Trey Mancini, three more hits last night, 14 in his last 27 at-bats. How impressed are you with how it seems like every time he has a little bit of a lull, and you think, well, maybe this is going to snowball because he's still a rookie, he pulls himself out of it and goes on another tear, his average is around 300 again.
Well, we talked about that many times, that just when it seemed like he's going to become you know, norm to what young players usually do, you know, he gets right back in the fight and gets involved even more heavily in it. And the thing I'm most impressed with is obviously the offensive part of it, but his base running has been good, and his play in left field has only gotten better and better and better as the season going on. It's really a tribute to him and the work he does every day with Wayne Kirby, and it's been fun to watch.
Rock Kabatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Tim Beckham really had three good to great plays in the field last night. What has he shown you defensively, maybe compared to the reputation before he got here?
I don't really deal in what somebody else has thought, and it's really something we try to do here when guys come into Baltimore. I don't want to talk to other people. You know, I want to give them a fresh start and let them start, especially when the first time a guy's been traded. You know, I have a lot of confidence in Bobby Dickerson, and I have a lot of confidence in Scott Coolball, and I have a lot of confidence in the player that we acquired, and they've kind of feed off of that. So you leave it alone, let it seek its level, not overcoach it, and just give them an atmosphere to be themselves and feel like they, you know, there's certain things that, you know, would like to see them do, but you don't beat them over the head with it. You know, Tim's a good player, and he's made some, and I can't say he's made strides, and I can't say he's gotten better, because I don't, you know, what he did in Tampa, I could care less about.
Mark Trumbo not in the lineup tonight. I know he's 1-for-20 against Ramirez, who's starting tonight for the Mariners. Is that, you look at that and figure this is a good opportunity to maybe give him a night off, or is there something else?
This is an obligatory batting order.
It is.
Yeah, he just needs a day. Doesn't particularly hit this guy, and Craig's been swinging the bat well. It improves us defensively. It also, you know, you can't put Flaherty out there because it takes your only utility guy out there. You can't put Gentry in center field and D.H. Jones because that takes that out of play. Some issues you think about, there's about four different factors that you have to think about your lineup as far as what happens if this happens. You always got to think about what if. That's why we held out Brock last night in case Zach had an issue, but guys had to get some outs in order to be able to hold Brad out.
And finally, the Arizona Fall League rosters were announced earlier today. The Orioles, five representatives so far with Scott, Faulkner, Aiken, Mountcastle, and Wilkerson. Well, what goes into deciding which guys would benefit more from playing as opposed to just Fall League, as opposed to being shut down for the season? How does it benefit these guys, you think?
That's an exciting group out there. I'm not saying that all of them aren't, but this is one of the better. You know, I'm going to make a trip out there to see these guys, and There's actually one or two more that are going, but that haven't been announced, I think. But, Brian Graham's instrumental in it, understanding who needs the innings, who might have been hurt some point this year. You know, obviously, Dan's involved, and we talk about it a little bit. I'm not that heavily involved in it, but it's pretty obvious that we got a really exciting group going out there. And, you want them to get something out of it. You don't want them to get overtaxed. It's mostly guys that need some more innings and it's good competition. And also it helps you make up your mind some about whether or not somebody should be protected on the 40-man roster.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Now the Orioles tonight looking for a sixth consecutive victory. They have gone 18-11 the last 28 games they played. So they're having a winning month of August. And in August, as a team, the Orioles are hitting .301 to lead the major leagues. And they've also hit 47 home runs to lead the major leagues. So the offense right now is clicking. Scott Coolbaugh is the hitting coach. So right now he's a real good guy to talk to. And Jim Hunter will do that when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
At Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where tonight the Orioles and Mariners are scheduled to play the middle game in this three-game series. We are in a rain delay and no word on when or if this game can start. But if you're the O's, having won five in a row, you certainly want to get this game in. Scott Coolbaugh up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Mariners, middle game of the three-game series here at Camden Yards tonight. I'm visiting with hitting coach Scott Coolbaugh. And Scott, I like to look at numbers in the sense of segments of the season. And I went back today to August the 10th, 17 games. The team collectively is batting .309 since August 10th. That's the best batting average in the major leagues and the only club that's above .300. Now, you work with these guys every day. What are you seeing over the past nearly 3 weeks that's enabling them to have consistent success?
Well, I think that, our lineup is stretched out to the point where, it's a lot of stress on the pitchers, number one, the opposing pitcher. You know, the acquisition of Tim Beckham coming in here and doing what he's done early on for a month has been outstanding. So that's really kind of puts another threat at the top of the order, which we, moving Adam at the top of the order, you kind of have a little bit of a mix up there. But, Tim coming in and having quality at bats like he's had at the top has just kind of moved everybody into a place where I think they feel a lot more comfortable. And, a lot of the guys, that they have that ability. This team has tremendous ability to go out there and put up numbers like they've been doing here over the last, since the All-Star break, really. And, it's a credit to them. They work hard. They're conscious about their at-bats. They want to have quality bats, and they want to pass the baton mentality. And, sometimes that's difficult. The opposing pitcher, can stop that a little bit. But we've been grinding through it, and the guys are smelling the end of the year where we have a chance to make the playoffs. And, I think that everybody's upbeat right now.
I know your theories about the hitters using the entire field as often as they can because they get a better chance to succeed. They're not as predictable if they do that. And you mentioned since the All-Star break, and really if you go back to that point, most of the hitters, top to bottom, have adopted that style more. Now, have you, all your sermons to them, have they finally, gotten through? Or is it just an adjustment that the hitters have made, and once they get a little success, they stick with that?
No, I think they just got back to what they do well. We have some hitters in the lineup that are very good about going the other way. Manny is number one. He's been the biggest turnaround, and he's used the whole field a lot more. And using the right side of the field when it's given to him, he's done that. And Trey Mancini, I think from day one, everybody knew that he was, his success is going the other way, and the right center gap was his kind of his forte. And then when we got the acquisition of Tim Beckham, like I said, he's been using the whole field, and that side of the field has been his comfort level. So, when you have three guys at the top of the order that can use the other side of the field as well as they do on a consistent basis, it kind of puts a little bit of damper in a pitcher's mind saying, what am I going to do here? I'm throwing away. They're hitting the ball the other way. And then, some guys are getting some pitches in and they're driving them. It's a great to see. Everybody has the ability to use the whole field, and that's the only way you're going to get your average up, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of our success right now as far as the average of the team, is we are using the whole field and we're taking what's given to us. Last night, you know, we did hit the one home run, but we had three extra base hits total, two doubles, and then the rest of them were singles, and a lot of the singles were with men in scoring position and balls up the middle, just, you know, base hits, and those are the things that are going to propel you when you're getting into a crunch time, when you're playing really good teams, because it's going to take a base hit a lot of the times just to score a run in two out situations or even a man on third.
Obviously, winning cures a lot of ills, but one of the things I'm noticing, especially recently during this winning streak, is the energy in the lineup within games. And last night was a perfect example. Every single hitter had at least a base hit, several multi-hit games, and basically the top to bottom of the lineup contributing. And that's a good way to go about it if you can get it, because obviously every night not everybody's going to be on their game, but the more that are, you have a better chance.
There's no doubt. And I mean, you look at our lineup and the way it's stretched out. I mean, when you got Wellington Castillo or even Caleb Joseph hitting eighth in the lineup, you know, or even sometimes nine, that's outstanding, because these guys are doing a great job at the bottom of the order as well as the top. So, you know, when we had, like I said, with the acquisition of Tim Beckham coming in here and swinging the bat like he has, and the other guys kind of picking up their game like Manny and Chris Davis as of late, you know, Trumbo's had some big swings in at bats for us. It just stretches out the lineup where it makes it a lot more difficult for the opposing team to pitch to, and you know, our success is going to be based on that. And you know, you're not going to have all nine hitters hot at one time, but if you can get a couple at the top, a couple at the bottom, that really keeps the lineup moving a little bit more.
And from my view, I think Trey Mancini's been a positive effect and an influence on this team, because here's a rookie who understands, I better adjust or I'm going to go into a funk. And every time he gets into a funk, his funks are three games, and then he adjusts and he's right back on track.
Well, let's be honest, this season wouldn't be where we're at right now as tough as it's been at certain stretches without Trey Mancini. You know, Jonathan Scope's had a tremendous year so far, and we all know that, but Trey Mancini has been the biggest reason why we're at right now. And it's a credit to him, a young kid, a rookie that was in the bottom of the order, learning how to play left field. And I tell him every day that, you know, he's got to just look himself in the mirror and just stick his chest out, because what he's done this year has just been unbelievable. And I can't be any more prouder for him. And I know he's hungry to continue it, and we need him along the way.
Well, and the hitters are certainly adopting the philosophies of Scott Coolball, and they are really, really swinging the bat well. A team batting average of .309 combined over the last 17 games. The only team in the majors in that span with a batting average above .300. Well, good news. The grounds crew removes the tarp, and we will have a first pitch tonight at 7:30 here at Camden Yards. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in the win column again tonight. Orioles now in the midst of a six-game win streak. Second time they've done that this season, back in early May. In fact, it ended on May 9th when they put together a six-game win streak then. And at that point, they were 22-10. And then they began to struggle after that. But now, hey, they are motoring again on another six-game win streak. And tonight, it was all about four Orioles solo home runs. And it was all about Dylan Bundy tonight. The Orioles in the game tonight. They had only four at-bats in the entire game with a runner in scoring position. They went 0 for 4. But at the same time, they hit four bases-empty home runs, and Dylan Bundy was absolutely marvelous as Bundy comes up with a complete game, one-hit shutout, in which he throws 116 pitches. He threw about 75% strikes in this game. He allowed just a one bunt single by Kyle Seager back in the fourth inning. And little did we know at that time that for Bundy, that would be the only hit he would allow. He was, in a word, masterful. Now, Bundy faced four batters in the first inning. The leadoff hitter was on base on a Tim Beckham throwing error. But it was obvious Bundy was in command. He got him 1-2-3 after that throwing error. And then he got him 1-2-3 in the second inning. There's a home run way back in left. Jonathan Scope, man, did he murder that one. Hits back about 20 rows, way back in left field. Wave that baby bye-bye. Goodness. Scope number 29 to lead the club. And it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. was majestic, and that gave Bundy a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first inning. And then Bundy came back with a 1-2-3 second. And now the next one is a fastball upstairs, skied to shallow left. There's Mancini. He's waiting on it to make the catch. So Bundy with a 1-2-3 second inning after giving a 1-0 lead on the Scope home run. So there you go. It's 1-0 as we went to the third. Now Bundy walked the leadoff hitter, Mike Zunino, and then later with two outs, after a couple of strikeouts, he walked Yonder Alonso. And for Bundy tonight, that was his toughest inning, in which he had to throw 22 pitches. But then Cano came up to hit, and Bundy ended that third in style.
Bundy's ahead of him 1-2. The right-hander's pitch, swing and a miss. He got him. Cano down on strikes, and that ends the inning. So Bundy strikes out the side. He walks two, and the two walks left stranded.
All right, so Bundy had a 1-0 lead, and yep, obviously in command. And then in the fourth inning, he got one out on a foul ball out. And that's when Kyle Seager came up to hit against the shift. He bunted, and he bunted successfully, an infield single on the bunt. The only hit that Bundy would allow, although little did we know at that time. After that, Valencia struck out, and then Gamble a ground out, and Bundy again went unscathed. Then came the top of the fifth inning. He struck out Zunino, he struck out Heredia, and then he went to work on the leadoff hitter, Gene Segura. 0-2 to Gene Segura. Bundy into his motion, he delivers, and Segura is a little comebacker. Bundy backhands it and then gets the ball to Davis to get that third out. So he gets him 1-2-3 with two more strikeouts. Dylan Bundy tonight, 5 scoreless with those 8 strikeouts, and he has allowed just one bunt single. He's in command. In command indeed, and it was a 1-0 game until the sixth when Manny Machado, who earlier with two on base, had almost, maybe within a couple of feet, of what would have been a 3-run home run. Well, in the sixth, with bases empty, Manny made sure.
And the 0-2, Manny swings. It's a line drive to left field. That sends Gamble back at the wall. He reaches up, and that ball is gone. It got out of here over the glove of Gamble. So Manny, who just missed a home run in the third, hits one out here in the sixth. So Manny goes deep. It's 2-0 Baltimore, and a pair of solo home runs by Machado and Scope.
There you go. So double the lead there. Then, Bundy came out with the seventh inning. He got him 1-2-3. And again, against Gamble, he ended that inning very impressively.
The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. There's another strikeout. And Dylan Bundy has equaled his career high with 10 strikeouts. He has now done that in 3 of his last 4 starts.
There you go. Then came the bottom of the seventh inning, and that's when the Mariners went to the bullpen. The left-hander Pazos came on to pitch to go after Wellington Castillo, and for Seattle, it did not work out.
Castillo down on the count 0-1. Pazos deals, swinging a high fly ball left field. Gamble back on it. He's looking up, and that ball is gone. It carries out to left, and another home run for the Orioles. It is 3-0 Baltimore here in the seventh. 3 solo home runs for the O's.
And so Castillo has now hit 3 home runs in his last 6 starts. Bundy came out for the eighth inning. He struck out Zunino for his 11th strikeout and a personal career high. Man, was he good. After that, Heredia got on base on another Beckham error, a throwing error. And at that point, Bundy had retired 12 in a row. But then he got Segura on a fly ball. And then he went to work on Yonder Alonso. Bundy, he delivers. Alonso popped it up, back of the plate. Here's Castillo, he's got a beat on it near the on-deck circle, and Wellington Castillo makes the catch. So Bundy gets a third out in the eighth inning. And Bundy right now is walking off to a standing ovation as he makes his way toward the Oriole dugout. He's gone 8 scoreless, 11 strikeouts, a career high, and giving up just one hit, the bunt single, way back in the fourth inning. So Bundy, an amazing effort here tonight, and we thought he was done. But that was not the case. Although Bundy's job was made easier, my Britton was out there warming up. But then Manny came up, the leadoff hitter, in the bottom of the eighth inning, and he turned it into a non-save situation. Manny waits, and the 1-2 pitch on the way. Fly ball, deep left, in the corner. If it's fair, it's gone. It is gone, a home run. Right down the line, Manny Machado, adios pelota. He has homered for the second time tonight. He's got 30 now. And it's 4-0 Orioles. So there you go. Manny Machado, a big night, 4-0 at that point. And Britton had been out there getting loose, but all of a sudden he stopped getting loose. He looked down toward the field, and we saw Dylan Bundy come out of the dugout to pitch the ninth inning. Now, Robbie Cano was the first hitter, and on an 0-2 pitch, Bundy hit Cano. And so the Mariners had a base runner. And then Bundy got serious. Nelson Cruz grounded to third. Seager grounded to second. And then Valencia came up to hit. And that's when Bundy ended a marvelous night. Dylan Bundy has thrown 115 pitches. The infield backed up with two outs. Taylor Motter, the pinch runner at third base. Orioles ahead 4-0. Bundy again ready. 0-2. Here it comes. Bang! And a miss. He struck him out. He got him off speed. Ball game is over. Dylan Dylan. What a ball game. A complete game shutout on 116 pitches. The Orioles with their sixth consecutive victory. Dylan Bundy has won five in a row. In the win column tonight, they beat Seattle 4-0. And for the Orioles, their first complete game shutout in 3 years. How about that? Last one, Miguel Gonzalez against Cincinnati back in September of 2014. And again, Bundy, the only hit he gave up tonight was on a bunt single in the middle of the game. What a performance. Jim Hunter, he's got Dylan Bundy, he's got the skipper, when we continue with the postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, and what a night for the Orioles, in particular for Dylan Bundy, who pitches his first complete game shutout, 4-0 over the Seattle Mariners. So the Orioles' role continues. They have now won six consecutive games, and the Orioles are now 67-65 on the year as they win it by the final of 4-0. Well, the man of the hour, Dylan Bundy, a complete game shutout on 116 pitches. Following the game, Bundy visited on Masson. He was the walk-off interview with Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer.
Well, this is the Orioles' big story of the night, backed up by four home runs. Dylan Bundy, a complete game, one-hit shutout, first of his career. Can't help but smile, or you're waiting for the pie. It's the pie. All right, I'll take it. double dose. Here comes number three. Everybody getting a shot at Dylan Bundy. Here's the towel. He's checking to see if anybody else is going to come out of there, but apparently not. Pies are back in flavor. And Dylan Bundy, that's what happens for an outstanding performance. At least you saw it coming.
Yeah, at least I did, huh?
Dylan, congratulations. What a great performance. I mean, you look so comfortable, so dominating. Did you feel that way out on the mound?
I wouldn't say I felt that way exactly, but I was just trying to attack hitters and go after guys.
Well, you know, I said from the first inning, you look like you had probably as good a fastball as you've ever seen. I got to go talk to Danny Valencia tomorrow because, you know, he was here for a while. I'm going to go, you didn't get a pitch to hit. But I don't know if you've ever had a four-pitch mix as good as you had tonight.
Well, thank you, Jim. Like I said, I was just trying to attack hitters and throw strikes. And Willie called a great game behind me tonight.
You really kept the efficiency going, too. I mean, you work on getting to complete games, don't you? That matters to you.
That's the goal as a starting pitcher, is to finish the game and throw all nine innings and start to finish.
You know, we've been talking all summer long, and, you know, they've been worried about the innings. You know, 109, now you're at, what, 154 or 5? You keep telling me you feel pretty good. Now, they have given you some extra time off. Do you think that that's actually helped a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. The second half, I've been getting 6, 7, 8 days in between starts, and I think I'm starting to see the benefits from it.
And the long ball tonight, you had a smile every time that ball left the yard,
absolutely,
didn't you?
Absolutely. The guy swung the bats and played great defense behind me tonight. It was awesome.
Well, Dylan, congratulations. That's a great performance, and that's one for the record books for you and the Orioles. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so Dylan Bundy, the walk-off interview with Gary and Jim, 4-0 shutout, 116 pitches, 85 strikes. He only allowed one hit, the one-hit shutout. It was a bunt single against the shift by Kyle Seager with one out and nobody on in the fourth inning. Well, the Orioles win it 4-0 as they improve now to 67-65, and they have equaled their season high with a six-game winning streak. They also won six in a row May 4th through the ninth, so tomorrow they have a chance for a season high if they can complete the sweep. Time to hear from the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
It just looked like Dylan had everything working.
Yeah, he was outstanding, obviously. That was, it's fun to watch, especially when you think about everything's at stake for both clubs. Everybody's operating. And also to come, you know, he flew in late last night, landed about midnight. You know, so had to work through a rain delay too. So a lot of things could have been a challenge for him, and he didn't let it be. So strong mentally, that was outstanding, obviously.
What was the thinking? Were you debating whether to send him out for the ninth?
Well, you're always debating everything, whether you pinch hit Trumbo for Smith, whether you know what your batting order is. You debate things. It depends on. You know, I was going to let him have hitter to hitter, unless he had some deep counts. But no, that stressfulness, you know, it's easy for me to say, but, you know, he had some real short innings and felt good physically. He's working on extra days rest. He's working on extra days rest next time. He's worked on, you know, physically, he's fine. So I didn't, you know, like I say a lot of times, a lot of the moves are made for you by the other team. And, you know, I didn't really see anything, I'm sure y'all didn't, that made me think he was, you know, they squared up a couple of balls in the inning before. But, you know, you're also careful about changing the, I don't know, culture, karma of a game. And obviously it was pretty good with Dylan in there. It would have been good with Zach in there.
Look, you talked about all the things that he had facing, including the rain delay and the, you know, the death in the family and everything else. The resolve that this kid has shown you, how rare is it for somebody this age to be able to be that mentally tough at this level?
Well, I don't think a lot of people have been through what Dylan's been through, you know, and to battle back through it. You know, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but sometimes you forget Dylan lost his mother and his grandmother at a young age. And, you know, this is sometimes life forces you to grow up. You know, it's a guy that was as good a high school prospect as a lot of people ever saw. And then all of a sudden that's taken away from me with, you know, elbow surgery. And, you know, you got to make some decisions whether, you know, you're going to push through it. And I, you know, sometimes it makes us a lot stronger when you get through those things.
You speak often about him in starts. If he loses it for a batter, it's not something that carries over in the next. When he had that kind of long third inning, is that kind of what you're thinking, that he's a type of guy who can get around those walks?
Well, actually, I thought you were going to say after the ninth inning when he hit Cano. You know, there's a lot of that. His presentation and his – I talk a lot to young pitchers about your presentation to the opposition and your – you know, Dylan obviously wasn't trying to hit him and just reached up for another baseball. You know, that's – you know, that's what you can do, control what you can do, and move on. But I don't think Dylan lets the surroundings, whether it's wind, rain, tragedy like he had in the family, he's got a job to do. He's very professional about it.
Was there a point tonight where you thought it might be a special night for him? I mean, that bunt single was the only hit they had. He struck out 12. Was there a point tonight where you kind of thought maybe this would be a special night?
You know, you look at really good hitters that don't look particularly comfortable. I think that's when it kind of makes you think that there's, you know, when he shows ability to throw all his pitches over the plate, and then all of a sudden, third or fourth inning, I know he threw a curveball. I know it for striking. I know if I'm in the dugout, I'm going, really? That too? You know, so I used to kind of watch the better hitters and see their, that kind of gave me a feel, I think, the second time around the order, that he had some pretty competitive stuff.
Like, it was working really good tonight, especially at times when he was able to just tie the guys up in knots in certain
Well,
situations.
He had that little 86, 87 is like, well, I don't want to start broadcasting what he's doing, but he's got a lot of different looks. That's why he's able to defend himself on nights when he's not carrying the type of stuff he had tonight. He's got a lot of different – he can manipulate the ball, and he's got a good hand.
Scoop and Machado just keep trading home runs. I mean, is this something that's kind of really fun to watch for you?
Yeah, when we need every one of them. John and Manny are having a lot of fun, and that's always proud for me, and it's fun to watch them.
So post-game comments of Buck Showalter as the Orioles shut out Seattle 4-0, four solo home runs. Manny Machado hit two. For Manny, he now has the team lead. He has 30 home runs. Jonathan Scope hit a solo home run in the first inning, gave the Orioles an early lead. He now has 29. And Wellington Castillo hit one out. He now has 15 home runs on the year. So Manny Machado with his fourth multi-home run game of the year, now with the club lead, 30 home runs, and the Orioles win it by a final of 4-0.